brought to you by the new Bose A20 aviation headset and by XMWX Satellite Weather. Bose is now introducing their most advanced pilot headset ever, the new Bose A20 aviation headset. It provides significantly greater noise reduction than currently available, along with improved comfort, clear audio, and Bluetooth connectivity.
You're listening to AvWeb's continuing coverage of AirVenture 2010. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from Oshkosh. I'm with Tom Bowen, who's the Chief Operating Officer of Lance Air. And Lance Air is in the middle of a major development project on the Lance Air Evolution, which is a piston version of the turbine airplane by the same name. And Tom, you recently flew out from Washington State here to Oshkosh. Tell us a little bit about that flight.
Well, we, in our preparation for Oshkosh, put the IE2-powered Evolution into show configuration on Friday and dispatched out of Redmond, Oregon, actually, at 6:30 a.m. Saturday morning.
And you've described the aircraft as turbine-like, and turbine-like applies to both its operation and its performance by the sounds of it.
That's exactly right. The characteristic of the IE2-powered Evolution is simply that you apply power and set a climb airspeed, and the airplane, there's very little workload on the operation of the airplane in whole, and especially in the engine management.
Now, you left Redmond at what time, and I don't think you were able to make it nonstop?
The only reason I didn't make it nonstop is because we went off as a flight of two, and it's an interesting point that I was chasing our turbine-powered Evolution, and it required a fuel stop at Rapid City. So just in the interest of staying together, I landed at Rapid City. Upon landing at Rapid City, I took on 70 gallons of 100 low lead, and I believe the turbine took on around 115 gallons.
And what was the time difference between the two?
I landed approximately 25 minutes behind the turbine. Now, I had just a bit of a head start. I had about a 10-minute head start on the turbine due to IFR release. I did the flight at 250 and climbed direct from Redmond, Oregon, which is 3,000 AGL, to 250. That climb took me approximately 12 and a half minutes. Leveled out at 250, and then the turbine was released 10 minutes later for IFR spacing. Since we were the same route, the turbine went up to 270 and then caught me about the middle to eastern half of Idaho.
So the performance, obviously the turbine has an edge, but the edge maybe is not as great as we thought it was.
Well, you know, time is money, and arriving 35, 45, an hour block to block is important in a lot of people's operating scenarios. But I would say as a piston pressurized airplane, you're not going to arrive any sooner than the IE2 Evolution.
Range-wise, when you landed in North Dakota, what was your fuel state? Did you have enough to continue the trip nonstop?
I still had 90 gallons of fuel, and I only had an hour and 45 flight time left into Oshkosh.
I'll take that as a yes. So that means if the turbine stopped and you continued on, who arrives first?
Depending on how quick you could get fuel in the turbine, I think it would be a dead heat.
Interesting. Tell me a little bit about what kind of climb rates you saw, what kind of speeds, and some typical fuel flows.
Okay, initial climb rate out of Redmond at VY, which is 110 knots, was almost 3,000 feet a minute. I was a single occupant of the airplane, and probably of the 4,300-pound gross takeoff weight, I was probably an even 4,000. I had a lot of show materials in the airplane. So 3,000 initial. The cruise climb is 140 knots. At 140 knots, I was 2,200 feet a minute, and I maintained 2,200 feet a minute up to 18,000, and then knocked it over to 160 knot cruise and continued on at about 1,500 foot a minute up to my ending altitude of 250.
And the cruise speed at 250?
250, the average cruise speed was 253 knots true. And with tailwinds, which is why we go high, and the pressurized evolution is a good example of why we go high in comfort, we had 50 to 80 knots of tailwind during the trip. We saw as high as 330 knots ground speed.
And operating the engine, how would you describe it?
Boring, for the most part. I've been flying for 33 years, and this is as turbine-like as you can imagine. There's only one activity. The checklist is very short. Takeoff is apply power and monitor. The level off is reduce power to the percentage cruise. We actually have a percent of power display in the airplane. So all engine management is done to the percent power gauge. So reduce to the max cruise power. And in the case of the Evolution, just occasional tank switchage for fuel balance. That's the entire fuel management.
Now, Lance Air is taking orders for the IE2. What's the status of testing on the engine? Are you reaching the end of the program?
From Lance Air's perspective, we are done with the program. We have fully flown the envelope. We are satisfied with the numbers. We have made some minor suggestions to Lycoming on presentation of data, mainly, which means that we're down to arguing what color the font should be on the engine displays versus any type of seismic type decisions. We do think there's a little bit of fuel optimization that can be done. The engine translates beautifully between flight conditions. Thursday on the return to service flight, I have a reputation of being able to break anything. That's kind of my specialty. Not because I abuse things, but because I very aggressively fly the envelope. I was doing max performance chandelles and lazy eights, and I honestly never saw the RPM of the engine vary 10 RPM.
So that sounds like the software is really well dialed in by this point.
It is the best aviation engine management software I've ever flown, turbine or piston.
All right. Well, thanks very much for speaking with us, Tom.
Thank you very much, Paul.
We've been speaking with Tom Bowen, who is the Chief Operating Officer of Lance Air. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from Air Venture 2010 at Whitman Field, Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Thanks for listening. XMWX satellite weather is as vital as vision. Never fly blind again when you add XMWX satellite weather to your onboard electronic suite today. Come see what the latest XMWX satellite weather has to offer at EAA AirVenture 2010, booth 3037.